Zorg Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning here, Friday, May 19th. Been waiting for this day quite a while. May 19th, 2017. Lord's not making another one. Today is the kickoff of our big conference here in Columbus, Newark, Ohio area. Kevin, I don't know if we ever gave it a name or not. You know, I'm going to say, tell us the name of the conference, but I don't even know if we gave it. L.A. Marzulli is on the ground. He got in late last night. Plane was delayed out of L.A. He lives out in that area. Got in really late last night. Russ will be rolling down here later on today. We're looking forward to exciting stuff. You know, I've come to the realization, spent some time, Sarge is in town. Sarge helps. He's the brains behind a lot of what we do. And so Sarge is in town to help with the conference. And spent some time with him yesterday. We went out and explored, did some different things along that area. And I'm just becoming more and more aware of, I don't know how to explain this. Do you feel a little different than everybody else? I feel a little different than everybody else, although I'm not. I'm just me. I love to play golf. I love my family. I love sports. But I feel so different. I don't know why. You know, Bible calls us peculiar people. Somebody Google that for me and see if I can. See if you can find out where peculiar people is, because we are peculiar people. But I run into a lot of people, and I get inquiries. I had somebody cancel from the conference this weekend because that L.A. Marzulli, he's talking about crazy stuff. I've never heard and seen anything like that, and I don't want any part of that. Well, okay. When you signed up, didn't you know it said L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar? did you not read that? And then this continues to amaze me. I don't care. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad out there, so relax. But I'm just going to show you the mentality of Christians, okay? The mentality of Christians. If you bought a $1,000 ticket to go see Elton John, I don't know if you would. But let's say that you did, Christians. And then you did a little research on Elton John. You found out he was a homosexual. But, oh, I'm not going to support him. Would you write Elton John and ask for your money back? You want your money back from your ticket? Well, of course you wouldn't. Because you bought the ticket, you made a contractual deal with them. Why would you, if you decide that you're not going to come, why would you? Can you buy a ticket to the Cleveland Cavaliers, get your money back? Can somebody help me out there? Can anybody tell me any ticket to any sporting event that you can buy that if you don't show up, you get your money back? Can you buy a plane ticket? Hey, I guess I'm not going to go. I want my money back. Well, you can if you buy the insurance, but otherwise you can't do that. Again, I'm trying to show you the mentality of the way we as Christians think. Say, oh, this is a church event, so they'll give me my money back. And we did. We do. Some of them have legitimate reasons. Please don't mistake this. I'm trying, again, help us to see ourselves, self-examine ourselves. So here we are running a ministry. We're bringing in a guy from Los Angeles, California is flying in. Got a guy coming from down south. We're putting him up in hotels. We have a lot of expenses. And somebody says, I can't come. Can I have my money back? Sure. Hey, it's time you started going to your church and demanding your tithes back. I didn't like the message you preached today. Give me my money back. See, we'd never do that. But it's the way that we think. But again, what happened is I'm finding I'm more and more peculiar. Did anybody figure, Jared, did you figure? You're always on top of it for me down there, brother. Come to the realization that we are peculiar people. Peculiar. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter. Hey, Jared, let's just pull up 1 Peter 2. Let's look at that here real quick here, because we're peculiar. We're peculiar. Oh, if I'd been on this, if I'd had this vein running through me earlier today, I'd have gone to dictionary.com and looked up the word peculiar. In fact, stop that, Jared. Pull up the definition of peculiar, because I've embraced it. Okay? I've embraced it. And the reason I say that I'm peculiar is because I know stuff others don't know. That makes me peculiar. So what's that word mean? Paul's going to tell us we're a peculiar people. It says characteristic of only one person, group, or thing, a drowsy fervor or manner of tone, which is quite peculiar. Oh, that's a, I'm sorry. A matter. No, this is, come on. What a different, okay. Different from the usual or normal. If you are different from the usual or normal, you is peculiar. If your day isn't driven by Rush Limbaugh, you peculiar. If you're a Christian conservative and you don't worship at Fox News, you're peculiar. You with me? And if you're a Christian who happens to look outside the box, or even better, if you're a Christian who reads your Bible, you'd be peculiar. Yeah, that's, hey, by the way, that's a pat on the back. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Go ahead, Mike. I heard you try to get in here. We need more peculiar people. We need more peculiar people, I think. Jared, go ahead and pull up 1 Peter again then, all right? Bear with me. I'm going somewhere this morning, I promise. So Paul says, laying aside, it's 1 Peter 2, verse 1, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow, Christians, not stagnate. Not become sour milk sitting in the pew. Grow. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted? Have you tasted that the Lord's gracious? If you haven't, you're peculiar probably. If you haven't, you're not. You're blending in with everybody else. To whom, verse 4, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. See, men don't want you to come to this living stone, but chosen of God and precious. Do you understand what he's talking about you? You're a real follower of Christ, huh? There's something different about you. You better, come on, let's put this mantle on, let's wear it. Something different about you. Verse 5, ye also are as lively stones. Now, come on, a stone's just an inanimate object. Didn't Jesus say that you could silence everybody and the rocks would cry out? That the Lord has the ability to make rocks speak? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. But you, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices, not financial ones. Verse 7. Is that where I am? Yes. No. 6. Wherefore, also it's contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Hey, Michael, how about that? You believe in Jesus, really believe in Jesus, you ain't going to be screwed up by all this stuff's going around. You're not going to be confused and confounded. You're going to have a very clear, you're going to be tuned in so clearly. Your picture on YouTube is going to be so clear. You're going to understand it. You're going to see your pixels are going to be lined up. You're not going to be confused. I was according to what I'm reading. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Talking about Jesus. And a stumbling and a rock of offense. Woo wee. Anybody wear that mantle? You ever think people around you get tired of being around you? Say, man, you are a rock of offense, brother. I can't hardly stand to be around you. Right? Wow. Let me stay there. A rock of, verse 8 again, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. See, you are a stumbling block to the disobedient, the ones who don't follow the word. You become a stumbling block. Why? Because you're constantly right in front of them. Say, see, you keep bringing them back to the word. Keep bringing them back to the word, and they don't want it. They stumble over it. They don't want the word. They want to live according to how they want to live, with a little bit of Jesus mixed in with it. They don't really want to have to follow and obey the word. Okay, let me do it again. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Okay, here we go. Verse 9. But you are a royal generation. I'm sorry, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He's speaking to believers, Paul is. A holy nation. He calls his people a holy nation, a peculiar people. Larry, you peculiar. Sarge, I've been around you. You're a peculiar dude. Tell you that, you're peculiar. Michael, that daggone. No wonder people think you're crazy. Because you're a peculiar person, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that something? The light's now shining on you and through you, and it's blinding people. They say, oh, that's Bushy's nuts. That guy's nuts. And Dalrymple, he's nuts. Every time I go around him, he wants to talk about Jesus. He's always pointing out, that guy's nuts. Hey, guys, it tells us we're going to be. Why don't we embrace it? Why do we want to blend in with everybody else? And for those of you who say, I don't want to come and hear Russ Dizdar. I don't believe in all that stuff. Or I don't want to come and hear L.A. Marzulli. I don't believe in those giants. That's crazy talk. So you never heard about that? No, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've never heard anything like that in my life. Really? Are you going to the same church? Yes, I've been in that same church. My grandpa was in that church, and his grandpa was in that church. Our family goes back 120 years in that same church. Well, say, no wonder you haven't heard anything different then. Come on here. And so what we try to do here at Pass the Salt is I tell you this over and over and over. You don't have to believe me. I'm trying to whet your appetite to do some research on your own that your eyes might be enlightened. That you might become one of the peculiar people. Here's the good news. Going to be 250, 300 peculiar people are going to show up out here at this event this week. They're coming from everywhere. Peculiar people. you know what I hear over and over? And Sarge, you can verify this, and the invite's tied in. You know what I hear over and over? Coach, nobody understands me. Nobody gets it, Coach. Everywhere I go, people in my church, they don't get it. Coach, I can start talking to them, and I can see in 5 seconds they their eyes glaze over. Nobody gets it, right? Because you are a peculiar person. And then what do they want to do? They want to call us a cult. They want to call us whatever. Oh, are you following that, Coach? Are you following? No, I'm not following him. I watch his show. Yeah, we get on the show together, but I don't follow him. No, I follow my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, see? And so the coach comes in. He talks about some of this stuff. We haven't heard anything, and, you know, my faith is growing. My faith is growing. And you won't believe this. I've been watching that crazy coach over the last year. And you know what? My faith's growing. I feel more independent in my faith walk. I feel more confident in my faith. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know that I'm not just blowing hot air. I know it to be true, see? Why? Because it's knowledge. You know the truth, and the truth sets you free. So let's just think about this a minute. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. We watch what's going on with the deep state. Oh, Lord, thank you. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. You know what the Holy Spirit just spoke to me? Are you sitting down or are you standing up? It doesn't matter. Wow. You ready? Holy Spirit just said to me, there's a deep state in Christianity, too. Boy, amen, I could shut it off and go to bed right now. Go back to bed right now. There is a deep state in Christianity as well. There are people behind the scenes manipulating Christianity as above, so beneath. Or so, however that will go, right? So this great manipulation has been the infiltration of the deep religious state into everything Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God in Christ, Church of God in Christian Union, Church of God in Christian Union in Jesus' name, Church of Jesus in Christian name, on and on and on and on and on and on. Rules and regulations and philosophies of men have so gummed up the Christian works. It is the deep state. And Tim's not on here with me. I wish you were on, Tim. I know you're laying in bed listening out there on the West Coast, but Tim would tell you about the deep state in the Assemblies of God. I think he was in the AG. He wasn't. He was in Foursquare. He could tell you about the deep state in making sure that nobody attacks that mechanism that they've got set up. Oh, no. You don't come against that religious system either. So what's Donald Trump fighting? Well, he's fighting the political deep state. And we don't want to believe it. See? Go ahead. So, Mike, is that you busting to get in? Somebody's busting to get in. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is so amazing because this is fresh from the Holy Spirit right now through me. I had no idea I was going here. I'm just telling you, this is so real. Go ahead, Mike.
Coach, you are absolutely right. And it's not because the deep state thinks that they have the correct interpretation of the Word of God. The deep state thinks they have a better version of the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, they've shaped it. They've formed God in their own image. No doubt about that, Larry. And think about the rules and regulations we fight over. Mike, I feel you. Go ahead, Mike. Jump in here.
Well, it's the same way. You know, we never thought that America would change. And yet that was the thing that happened. We allowed communism and all of these different isms to take over our mentality and our way of living. And it's the same thing in the church. You don't think that communism didn't infiltrate the church and its organization. All of that stuff is there. I mean, there's even stuff showing that as far as the Catholic priesthood was concerned, that there was a communist infiltration of that. If you notice
Hang on a second. The daggone Pope's a communist. You understand that? Our Pope's a communist. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, that's the truth. That whole attitude towards theology is based on communism, and especially from South America, where it infiltrated real strong in the Catholic Church and different churches. I mean, nobody is exempt from it. If you're not constantly examining yourself, you're prone to fall into error, just like anybody else.
Amen. You know, hey, Mike, I'm on to something this morning. I'm going to ride this horse here a little bit longer, okay? I'm on to something. Because I'm going to tell you something. The average Christian, you hear me? Average Christian doesn't read his or her Bible. They don't read their Bible. Oh, they may go into Sunday school or a church, and the pastor says, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, and he read a little verse, and they consider that their Bible reading for the day, for the week. They don't get up and do what my wife is doing right upstairs. I know right now she's got her Bible open. She's reading her Bible. She's taking notes. She's writing things down. They don't study their Bibles. And the Bible's very, very clear that you're to study the Word to see if what they've told you is the truth. Who was that? It was the Berean Christians. Study the Word to see if what they're being told is the truth. And so we don't have any. Just again, I made this connection yesterday. I'm going to make it again today. You have been programmed and dumbed down in public schools. You've been programmed and dumbed down in your church. Thumb up. Come on, somebody give me a thumb up on that. Now I'm going to tell you, it hasn't been intentional. Maybe it hasn't been intentional, right? Maybe your pastor is a good man doing the best he can. I'm going to tell you some of the stuff I'm going to pull some up here on the screen in a minute, and it's going to curl your toes because you've never heard about it. And I'm going to ask you something. Why? I got a buddy of mine, Jeff, you're probably listening. Jeff's entire life is being, he's telling me this. I'm not telling. His entire life's getting turned upside down from watching this show. I said, Coach, I can't believe the stuff that you're showing us. And I know it's true. Well, come on, Jeff. Of course it's true. And it's right out there for us. We got the internet now. We can Google. We can open up the Bible. You can find something on the internet. So I don't know if that's true. And you can dig into the Word and say, by golly, it does say that, doesn't it? It does say that. It does. As I love to say, it's not what you know that's going to kill you. It's what you don't know. It's not what you believe. It's what you don't believe. A lot of times it works both ways. And so the church has been infiltrated. Now, I'm not taking a broad brush of every pastor, okay? Understand that. I'm not doing that. But it's just, the truth is what it is. I was a Christian for 25 years and never heard the word Nephilim. Never heard it. Never heard it. Not never heard somebody teach on it. Never heard it. And when I heard somebody read for me out of Genesis 6, Jared, pull that up there real quick. Genesis 6. Wow. He's getting it up there for me. When I couldn't believe it. Verse 1, Genesis 6. This is right out of the Bible. And somebody said something to me about the Nephilim. I don't know. It was 5, 6 years. I don't know how long ago it was. Longer than that, probably. They said, Coach, well, that comes from the Nephilim. I said, what? Nephilim? Says, yeah, the giants. Huh? I've been in church, right? I've been in church 20 years. I said, yeah, well, Genesis 6. Read Genesis 6. Okay, so I got out my trusty King James. I went to Genesis 6, and it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto the men, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, look up sons of God. Sons of God. Look that up. Because there'll be some standing in the pulpit will say, well, that was just, that was the righteous men. That was the righteous leaders. That was a, well, really? Is that really what it was? Jared's looking it up for us. Here we go. Sons of God, daughters of men. Guys, I'm sorry we're doing this, but I wasn't prepared to do this in this. But let's pull that up here, Jared. What's it say? The sons of God and the daughters. See, it's a whole big thing. They're going to try to tell us what's Bob Deffenbaugh going to try to tell us here. Who are the sons of God? Oh, there he, look at that. Look at that. Thank you, Bob. I was making fun of you. View one. He says it's the merging of the ungodly Canaanite with the godly Sethites. Okay, he's trying to say it's physical, right? Go on down, Jared. I may get rid of this because I don't want to get bogged down. Hey, Jared, let's get this off the screen. I'll tell you why. Google it yourself. Feed yourself, okay? Go back to Genesis, Jared. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives all of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he that he is also his flesh, and his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the land in those days. Do you see that, Dylan? Have you ever had that preached to you? Have you ever just read that and said, oh well. Don't pay attention to that. Yeah, that's Goliath. Yeah, he was a big boy. He played for the Jerusalem Knights. He's a basketball player for the Jerusalem Knights. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, got to find out who they were, came in unto the daughters of men. And they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now hang on, look what this doesn't say. And I'm gonna paraphrase, okay? Verse 4. And they bare children to them. They became mighty men of God. Does it say that? They became mighty men of God? No. It says they became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God, connect paragraphs here. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. He said, that's it, man. I'm going to destroy him. That's it, but I'm going to get rid of those guys. All right? You with me? I was a Christian 20 years, never heard anything like it. And then I stumble. I'm not going to take you the history of it because I want to move on to something. I ended up, you ready? Googled it. Yeah, I just Googled it. You want to do something? You want to sit out there and laugh at me, peculiar person? You go sit out there and laugh all you want to. I dare you to do this. Just go to YouTube and type in Nephilim. Just type in Nephilim. And you're going to find more information than you could be able to watch in 7 lifetimes right there about the Nephilim. Hang on, because I'm going to tell you, the deep religious state has buried the truth. Yeah. Somebody itching to say something? Anybody itching to say anything right now?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Arge.
If Jared could pull up 2 Samuel 18 through 22.
Samuel 18 through 22, Jared.
This is where there's more battles going on where the warriors of David are killing giants. And in verse 20, it says, and there was yet a battle.
Hang on, Sarge. We're getting that up on the screen here, buddy. Okay, you said 2 Samuel 18 what, Sarge?
18 through 22.
Of what? Second, which chapter, Sarge? Chapter? 21. Okay. Hang on. We want to keep up with you because I think this is important for us peculiar people. 2 Samuel 21, verse 18. Okay, Sarge, we're with you now.
And there was yet a battle in Gath where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. Now, this is where the most critical line, 22. These 4, so he's talking about 4 giants. They were born to the giant in Gath. Well, that giant in Gath happened to be the same father to Goliath and fell by the sword of David and by the hand of the servants. You remember back in earlier in Samuel, when David went to slay Goliath, he took those 5 stones out of the brook because he knew there were 5 giant brothers. And this is where it's testified later on in Samuel that they killed the other 4 off as part of the requirement to get rid of the abomination.
So, Sarge, great job there, Sarge. Did you ever wonder why, when David is out taking on Goliath and all those armies are there, did you wonder why everybody wasn't shocked there was a giant there? But man, that dude's big. Did you guys ever see anything like that? Hey, boys, have you ever seen anything like this? Ever seen a guy this tall? No, because they were used to it. They were used to seeing him. Hey, Google it. Google it. I don't care if you've been in the same fundamental Baptist church for 30 years. Just Google it. And open your eyes up and let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you something here. Because one of the things we're going to do on Saturday of our event. So L.A. Marzulli is going to be here. He's an expert on this stuff. He's going to be talking about it. So is Russ Dizdar. But this is really, L.A. is the man on this stuff here. Okay? He's going to be exposing this to you. So if you can't put on your big boy pants and come and listen to it. See, listen, your kids sit in public schools all the time listening to stuff that ain't true. And they don't bother you. They do that. Oh, but no, I'm not going to go hear something that might not be true from the Bible. Really? Your kids go to public school and they tell them that they were created from pond scum. Monkeys. Now, you don't have any trouble with that. I want to open your eyes up to something bigger that might be going on spiritually. Oh, no, I got my King James Version. Well, we just read from it twice. Your King James Version, and it mentions giants. It's the deep state. It's the deep state. It's the Christian deep state, boys and girls. We are so deceived. Hey, listen, you're talking about a group of people who believe those airplanes brought down the Twin Towers. Yes or not? Yes or no? You're talking to American people think that those planes brought down those towers. Right? Oh, but you're talking to a group of people that think Obama's a Christian. Right? Come on, let's wake up here. You're talking to a group of people who think he loves America. Wake up here, right? You're talking to a group of people that think Hillary's honest. Right? 60-some million people voted for her, right? That's what we're dealing with. See, we're peculiar. All I'm trying to do is connect some dots for you. Okay, Jared, let's go to it. Anybody want to say something? Go ahead.
There was a reason, the reason why the Bible declares that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God.
Oh.
Because there was a whole bunch of other sons, but he was the only begotten.
That one. That's good, man. That's good. Jared, let's go to the second one. It says extraordinary intelligence. Now, folks, before you pull that, you can click on Jared before you pull it up there. On Saturday, we're going to visit the Newark Earthworks, the Newark, Ohio Earthworks, which they've told me my whole life. I grew up here. They told me all my whole life that they were made by the Hopewell Indians. This article here, Mysterious Mounds and American Giants. This is September 24th, 2012. I'm not going to read down through this, but it's talking about the Newark, Ohio Earthworks earlier. The mysterious mounds. Oh, hang on. Let's go. Across the United States, structures often referred to as Indian mounds can be found dotting the landscape. These mounds of earth are distinct from natural formations and that they're clearly designed structures made by intelligent hands. Long thought to be the creation of Native Americans for various reasons, ceremonial rituals, burial sites, etc., some researchers have begun to question whether it's possible that the mounds predate Native American inhabitants and are finding that there seems to be correlation between the mounds and reports of anomalous artifacts in the surrounding areas, including giant human remains. Scroll on down, Jared. Then it talks about a conference they're having in Columbus back in 2012 with LA and Russ. This conference, okay, now let's just pause right there a second. Folks, you're looking at a picture right now of what they call the Serpent Mounds. We're not going to go to the Serpent Mounds. That's farther down south in Ohio. But you can see the Serpent Mounds. As I point at the screen over here on my left-hand side, you can see the curled tail and follow the body of the serpent. You see how that weaves up through there? And if we could really zoom in, which you probably can't, at the end of it, it has an open mouth of a serpent appears to be swallowing an egg. Indians did that a long time ago. Indians did this. Now, see, if you go stand on the ground there and you're visiting the Serpent Mounds, you're flat, low, level, you can't understand this. Remember, God sits high, looks low. What are some demonic, angelic forces are sitting high and directing this thing here? This is in Ohio. We could go see it this weekend. It's an hour, 20 minutes away from us, so we're not going to do it. This is a Serpent Mound, okay? Now listen, this isn't the only one. These aren't the only mounds throughout all the Midwest. Hey, buckle up. Come on now. Yeah, here, do this. Either turn off or buckle up, because it's where we're going. This is just some guy. This is some guy. What was the name of his website there, Jared? Extraordinary Intelligence. Name of Extraordinary, Beyond Extraordinary. Wow. Keep going on down.
Hey, Coach.
I'm giving this. Yeah, Dylan.
With the mounds in Newark, you know, I always heard they were kind of used for keeping track of time or seasons, things like that. But with the Serpent Mound like that, what would the point of the Indians even making that be? I mean, like you said, they can't see it from up above like that. There's no reason behind that.
The seed of the serpent is trying to eat the egg. You understand? The seed of the serpent is trying to eat the egg. Come on. I'm not yelling at you, Dylan. Now,
I think it's crazy to say the Indians made it. There'd be no reason.
That's right. So here is an old photo, an old one, of Mound Builders Park, where we're going to go Saturday morning. This picture was taken long ago before all the trees grew up. And Jared, I don't know if you can make that image any bigger or not, but you can see it, right? See the circle mound and then see the connection to the octagon mounds. And this is just a park. We're going to go there Sunday morning. We're going to go here, okay? Remember, this is in Ohio. And Sarge, what parallel does this sit on, Sarge? What's that parallel that it sits on?
I don't know the actual parallel, but if you draw a meridian line straight in a direction, I think, towards the east, it ends up exactly 6,000 miles straight shot to the center of the Giza Pyramid structure.
On the exact meridian as the... Wow, as the pyramids in Egypt. Are you kidding me? Wow. Hey, Jared, reduce out of that. So here it is. There's a picture of the mound. We're going to go there. It doesn't look like that now. Now it's a park, city park. Now hang on, stay with me. Jared, go back up just a little bit. Sorry. I don't know. I had something else I was going to talk about as usual. I just got to stay here, Manto. Okay, look. Now, this guy's just writing this. He says the particular note in the area of Newark is a structure known as the Octagon. Just showed you that down there. Occupying an area of 3,000 by 2,000 feet of terrain. This incredible structure is part of a larger interlocking system of earth and stone mounds that comprise about 4 square miles of the area. To attempt to describe the massive size of the mound complex in around Newark, I will share this quote from Bradley Lepper, Ohio Historical Society archaeologist. He says this: the Newark earthworks were built on a scale that dwarfs many of the old world's most famous sites. The Newark, the Great Pyramid of Egypt, would fit comfortably within the square enclosure at Newark. The octagon would hold four Roman Colosseums, and Stonehenge would fit within the small circular enclosed location at the octagon's southeastern gateway. Early European settlers discovered this gigantic complex, and they began to speculate about the advanced civilization that built it. Excavations took place by those looking for treasures within, and many artifacts were destroyed in the process. It's said that among the items found in and around this octagon were great skeletal remains that were larger than any that could belong to even the largest human beings. With the destruction of so many artifacts and now some missing skeletons, institutions like the Smithsonian Deep State, which have been implicated in the confiscation of giants all across the U.S., have perpetrated the idea that these mounds were built by Native American Indians. However, Native American tradition seems to discount the idea that, like the European settlers, they claim the structures were already in place when they got there. The Indians said, this is already here. We didn't do this. Now, read this quote. The Indians are in agreement in saying that their fathers came from the West. They found the works in Ohio just as they are to be seen today. But the date of this migration of the Indians from the West to the East varies according to the nations. Another tradition claims that the works of the Ohio were raised by white Indians. These white Indians, according to the red Indians, were to have come from the East. And when they left the lake without the shores, the sea, they came dressed like the pale faces of today. So if Native Americans were not responsible for the earth mounds, who built them? This is the subject of the discussion of the Nephilim Mounds Conference. It's believed by the hosts of the summit that these mounds were the work of a race of beings known as Nephilim. Biblically, the Nephilim were the giants' hybrid offspring of fallen angels and human women, and the plot thickens. Okay, stop. Is that, huh? Okay? This guy, as far as I know, this guy ain't a Christian. As far as I know, this guy's doing what we hate. He's following the science. Okay, he's following the science. Okay, Jared, let's get that one off the screen because I'm going to pop you on another one. Hey, top secret. Top secret. Only those viewers of this program are going to get to see this. Kevin and I went there yesterday. Jared, go to the first one, brother. The first one. Now, this, wow. Because I'm a peculiar person, this really gets me going now. I've just discovered in the last 3 years another structure called the Glenford Fort Earthworks. Sarge and I drove to it yesterday. It's 6 miles from my house, okay? And what have they called this Glenford Fort? They've called it, well, of course, an Indian structure. Huh? Remember, in school, in church, in history, just repeat the same story. And that becomes history, right? Indians did it. The Indians did it. What's on private property? But Sarge, I don't even think you saw this, folks. Jared, look at that. Guys, look. On your screen right now, do you see that triangle? You see that triangle? Newark Earthworks? That's what we just saw. Go down the road to Flint Ridge, which my whole life, I can throw a rock and hit it. No, I can't throw it that far. I could drive my car there without much gas in it. This Flint Ridge, which they always told us that was there because that's where all the Indians around the world came to get their flint. That's what they told us. And then, I can't believe we find this. Look at the other end of the triangle, Glenford Fort. Look at that. Huh? Perfect triangle like that. I suppose the Indians did that, huh? I suppose they had that. They had the ability. See, between the earthworks and Glenford Fort's about 16 miles, I'm guessing. Between the Newark earthworks and Flint Ridge, probably about 16 miles. From Flint Ridge to Glenford Fort, probably about 16 miles. The Indians knew how to do all that, right? They just kind of went out, smoked them some wampa and peace pipes, and went out, and they did this, right? They put that in there. Now, Sarge, you ready, Sarge? Hey. Sarge and I went there yesterday. We're going up on it on Sunday. Now, look at this. Go scroll down, Jared. There's another picture I want you all to see. Okay, there it is. Sarge, I didn't show you this yesterday. There is what they call the Glenford Fort. You see all those trees around it? Well, Sarge and I were around. We were there yesterday. Sarge and I were. And we couldn't see the Glenford Fort. And we stopped and we pulled over and asked some man about it. He said, oh, yeah, it's up on top of the hill. And he's telling me the whole story. It's amazing up in there. There's rock structures and yada, yada, yada. And blah, 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 blah. Those Indians must have been amazing. And I read this is one, folks, listen to me. This is one stone. One stone, 56,000 tons. Sitting in the middle of this tree line, Sarge and I, we're going to go up there with LA. And they call it a fort because they don't know what else to call it. But here, listen, pull the triangle back down. They're all connected. They're all connected. How did this happen? You say, Coach, you're boring me. I'm sorry if I'm boring you. It excites me because they've always called this area the land of legend. Land of legend. Coach, do you live in Licking County, the land of legend? Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. It's right in my backyard. I never knew it. We're going to explore all this. Okay, I'll shift gears. Somebody jump in there. Anybody think I'm nuts? Hang on, Sarge. Hang on. Stay right back there, Jared. I'm sorry. Pull that back up there again. This is from the Ohio Historical Society. Ready? Larry, deep state. Deep state. Hey, boys and girls, deep state. Jared, go up to the top where I can begin reading down through here, okay, if I could. There you go. Thanks, Jared. Okay, this is, you can Google it. An enigmatic ridgetop enclosure. This is history, Ohio Historical Society. Glenford Fort Earthworks is a ridgetop ceremonial enclosure built by the Hopewell American Indian culture 2,000 years ago. Hang on. The Hopewell said, we didn't do that. We didn't build that. Doesn't matter. We'll say they did anyway. They just didn't know their history. Our historians say they didn't know their history, so we'll just say it did. Its walls, still nearly intact, are made entirely of stacked stone and encircle the bluffs of a flat-topped ridge. The property boasts a handsome and healthy Appalachian hillside of oaks and hickories that is studded with beautiful fern-covered landscape boulders. It's located in Perry County near Buckeye Lake. By the way, guys, you see that map of Buckeye Lake? That's where our conference is. Our conference is going to be held almost exactly where the F is in Buffalo that you looked at. We call it the Buffalo Lick Swamp. Now Buckeye Lake. Located in Perry County near Buckeye Lake, the earthworks belong to a geographical and cultural ceremonial region shared with the Newark Earthworks and Flint Ridge Historical Society. To our knowledge, only 14 ridgetop enclosures were ever built in the Hopewell heartland of Ohio and almost nowhere else. We now have the opportunity to help Glenford Fort become the 9th ridgetop Hopewell enclosure to be saved in the state. There are 9 of them in Ohio that they're telling us the Hopewell Indians built, but Hopewell Indians said, no, we didn't. We didn't do that. Glenford's notable features. Let's go down there, Jared. Guys, trying to connect some dots to you, for you. The walls that encircle the 24-acre ceremonial grounds average 20 feet in breadth. The stones, are you getting this? The walls are 20 feet, 3 to 6 feet in height. In early years, the ridgetop's most arresting feature was a stately stone mound that rose from the interior closure. Its footprint still marked by a canopy of trees. Still highly visible is a squirrel, what is that? Circle enclosure. Oh, no, a squircle is a rounded off square that sits directly in front of the main gateway and a small mound in front of the squircle. In 1987, excavation of the mound uncovered a collection of Adena spear points, potsherds, and revealed the existence of an oval building at the base of the stone mound. radiocarbon dating placed the structure at 280 BC. What? Near the end of the Edda era, indicating that the mound was likely several centuries older than the stone wall and the circular enclosure, which are of classic Hopewell design, except the Hopewell said they didn't do it. All right. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse. Somebody get in here. We're going to see this stuff this weekend. Well, we're not going to see this, but people are going to be able to go up there on their own, because Glenford Fort is now on private property. It's private property. You have to get permission to go. We got permission to go. But they're trying to encourage people more and more to go see this because they believe it's historic.
Okay? Are you going to
dig? Somebody rescue me. Yeah.
Are you going to dig while you're there, Coach?
Great question. No, I would say we're not going to dig. L.A. is fascinated by it because L.A., Marzulli, studies these things all across America. And he didn't have any idea this place was here. I told him a couple months ago, and then I just made arrangements for us to go check it out. So you guys know this. When L.A. Marzulli walks on this thing, he's going to recognize certain aspects that are, you know, they're the same everywhere. Same everywhere. And so what's the point? These structures were built by a super high intelligence, a higher intelligence than the Indians. Okay? Now, one more thing. Hey, Jared, I'm sorry. I think we have to go back to the previous one because I want people to see this too. Yeah, Jared, pull the previous one back up if you could. Mysterious mounds. Hey, this stuff pumps me up. I don't know about you. This so excites me. Go all the way down, Jared, all the way down the bottom. I'm going to show you a newspaper clipping. Here it is. This is the headlines of the newspaper. Giant skeleton. August 14th, they don't even tell us year. Found in bed of sand in northwestern Ohio. Man was 8 feet high. It's in the newspaper. Scroll down, Jared. So there it is. There's evidence of it. Now, part of what Sarge and L.A. and some of the people would say is there's an element in our society that's trying to keep this history from us. Okay? Because if this history is taken, if we don't know this history, then the deception that is about to come is going to be that much easier to pull off. Okay? If we really understand the spiritual significance of what we're going to see, we're not going to be able to be deceived. Help me, Sarge. Help me, Sarge. I know I'm peculiar, but they're thinking I'm nuts. I know I'm peculiar, but they think I'm lost my mind.
Well, this is going to also sort of verify what Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, and company have been doing when they went out to the Four Corners, which is, you know, the southwest where the Anastasia Indians were in, were living in. All of a sudden, as a civilization, they totally disappeared off the face of the map. And they have found lots of artifacts, and they are finding bones. And there was something going on out in the southwest, too, of similar nature. And I think as knowledge continues to be found by the researchers out there, we're finding that there was a lot more giants in this land than the world wants us to know actually existed.
Let me poke you in the eye with something else too. When I was growing up as a kid, I'm 64 years old. When I was growing up as a kid, we played cowboys and Indians all the time. Anybody else do that? We called it that. Let's play cowboys and Indians. And I would dress up. I'd get my little gun, and then my brother, he would get his little Indian feather he would wear. And I was the cowboys, and he was the Indians. They play cowboys and Indians at all in America today? In the public schools, are they playing cowboys and Indians? Or has that entire history been ripped from the minds of our children? You don't have to answer the question. I know the question. I know the answer. See, it only takes one generation for us to lose all knowledge of the previous one. That's how it happens. Psalm 78. Get that up there, Jared, if you will. Psalm 78. But I'm going to make a point to you. They say that, remember the old Indian tradition? How? Whenever you approached an Indian, what were you supposed to do? How? But that's kind of dumb. How? You know what it was? Of course you don't. Because you don't even know there were engines. You don't even know we had cowboys and Indians. We don't even know about that anymore. That history's gone. How? That's the way when a stranger came in to greet the Indians, he held up his hand and he counted his fingers. Because the Nephilim had six. And so when you held up your hand, the other Indian could say, what you dealing with? Well, I got six fingers. Ain't dealing with that boy. Wow. Psalm 78. Jared, let's go on down. This is the importance of, there it is, verse 5. Wow. My goodness, Lord, help us. Verse 1. I'm going to start in verse 1. Holy Spirit, you are so amazing. Thank you for leading us to this. Verse 1. Hey, Sarah, the Bible tells us there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. It's all being exposed. It is all being exposed, folks. You can sit in your 30-year-old fundamental Baptist church and say that I'm an idiot. You can go to your charismatic Jesus loves everybody church and dance around all you want to and say I'm crazy, but there's nothing hidden that's not going to be revealed. This whole thing's going to begin to make sense to us, okay? Psalm 78, written by David, who killed the giant when he was just a kid. And he wasn't surprised that there was a giant there. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known, because our fathers have told us. We will not hide these stories, I'm paraphrasing, from our children. We're not going to hide it from our children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Hiding it, right? For he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, and that the generation to come might know them, even their children which should be born, who would arise and declare to their children, that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be like their dads, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. So from the very beginning, it has been an attempt to change and hide history. And David tells us, don't let that happen. Fathers, you continue to tell your children. You know what I'm going to do today? Here you go, right wing watch. At some point today, I'm going to grab all my children around me, and I'm going to tell them about playing cowboys and Indians. I'm going to tell them about that. You know what else I'm going to tell them about? I'm going to tell them about their great-grandpa who fought the Krauts. I'm going to tell them about that. That your great-grandpa jumped on a plane and flew across the ocean, and he fought against the Krauts, the Germans, who were trying to destroy freedom. And all throughout our history, we've had to fight for freedom, and we have to fight for freedom today. But see, if we allow them to tell us in our schools that white men were just interlopers and came in and destroyed everything, they changed the history on it. And that's why we look and we see what's going on out in the streets in America. We have kids who've now gone to college who don't know history. How? They don't have any idea what you're talking about. Cowboys and Indians never played it in their lives. The only ones they played was video games against monsters. Isn't that unbelievable? That even in this psychotic, crazy world we live in, the demoniacs are teaching our children to be prepared to kill monsters. Just a quinky-dink, I suppose. Just a quinky-dink. Somebody rescue me. How much time we got? Golly, this was not what I was going to talk about today. Got 6 minutes. Come on, this is your big moment.
That famous quote from, I think it's Hosea or Amos about our people perish because of lack of knowledge. There's more mm-hmm. knowledge out there. The Bible doesn't cover everything in history, but it's history based on what God is doing with the people of Israel first, and then as it expands through his son later. But there's all kinds of history out there that we can study. There's archaeology, there's all kinds of things that will make you more aware of how unique and special God's kingdom is in the creation of mankind and the earth. And we just don't get it.
We don't appreciate it. Well, see, they don't teach it to us because they don't want us to know it. My wife's mother died a couple weeks ago, 93 years old. Do you have any idea the stuff she took to her grave that she never passed on to? You understand? Her grandkids don't even know it. Her grandkids don't even know where she came out of. They don't even know. They don't even know. If that history's lost. Yes, Sarah?
Steve.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning,
Hey,
boy.
Steve.
Coach, I want to thank you for what you spoke about today. Everything you spoke about basically today, I've known since the 1960s.
Mm.
And the reason why is because I read my Bible. And I've also had the opportunity to live with the people. We don't call them Indians because they're not, and I don't call them Native Americans because they're neither Native or Americans. We call them the people. And I learned a lot like that. But I just want to say that thank God for people like you, for people like Quayle, Marzulli, all of these people, Russ Dizdar, all of them, because what they're doing is they're bringing all of this to light. They're bringing it to a full head. Okay?
Amen.
So that modern Christians, and I just happen to consider myself fortunate that I came up the way that I came up, but they're wonderful bringing this truth to light.
We're losing it.
You know?
Amen.
That's all I wanted to say, Coach.
Bless you, Steve. I'm with you, man. Appreciate it.
And
Jared. Go ahead. Jared, Google what Lincoln said about Niagara. Google that right now. Jim Kraft just told me that this is worthy and has something to do with this conversation. What Lincoln said about Niagara. Hey, folks, listen. I'm going to say this again. You're a big boy. Google it. Don't believe it because I'm saying. All right? Search it out yourself. Search it out yourself, okay? Don't believe it because I haven't read this. Jim just texted me, said, Coach, have him bring it up. So here's what Lincoln said at Niagara Falls. Oh, I'm afraid to read this. Oh, my goodness. Lincoln says this at Niagara Falls. He's speaking at Niagara Falls. It calls up the indefinite past. When Columbus first sought this continent, when Christ suffered on the cross, when Moses led Israel through the Red Sea, nay, even when Adam first came from the hand of his maker, then as now, Niagara was roaring here. The eyes of that species of extinct giants whose bones fill the mounds of America have gazed on Niagara as ours do now. Contemporary with the whole race of men and older than the first man, Niagara is strong and fresh today as 10,000 years ago. The mammoths and the mastodon, now so long dead that fragments of their monstrous bones alone testify that they ever lived and have gazed upon the Niagara. Is that unbelievable? What did he say? The eyes of that species of extinct giants whose bones fill the mounds of America. When's the last sermon you heard on that one, boys?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, just real quick. Hey, Coach, if these hard-headed, knuckle-headed, narrow-minded Christians won't listen to you or Steve Quayle or L.A. Marzulli, then they ought to go to some of these high-tech conferences because they're talking about it. They have chips now. This, you can verify this, that are part human and part artificial intelligence. And everything you're saying can be verified technology and scientifically. No question about it.
Georgie, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Crazy things are about to break loose, and I'm proud to be peculiar today. I'm proud that I'm not closed-minded. I'm closed-minded to the truth, but I'm open-minded to anything that's going to help me better understand what's going on. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God bless you all. We'll see you on, on Monday. I'll see a lot of you tonight. See a lot of you tomorrow. We're going to have a great time together. The remnant of God coming together here in Buckeye Lake, Ohio. God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you on Monday.